Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Senator Kamala Harris announced today that she will run for president in 2020. I wish her luck, but I don't know. Is America really ready for a president?
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to Andrea Savage of True TV's I'm Sorry. Plus, Andrea takes a few more questions backstage just for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
President Trump's speech on Saturday was mostly just a collection of the same debunked talking points he's been repeating for weeks. And as usual, he spent the whole time sucking in air like he was running a marathon. Here are some highlights. Good Lord! That sounded like the first 20 minutes of a movie about Pablo Escobar. Maybe Trump is laboring because he knows every time he gives one of these speeches, it gets harder and harder to convince people. On Saturday, for example, he floated a new proposal. In exchange for wall money, he would offer temporary extensions for recipients of two programs that protect immigrants, known as DACA and TPS. And not only did Democrats reject it, but so did hardline conservatives. Right-wing pundit Ann Coulter tweeted, "Trump proposes amnesty. We voted for Trump and got Jeb." Wow. She compared him to Jeb Bush, his nemesis from the primaries. Trump prides himself on being a master negotiator. Here is actual footage of Jeb Bush's most successful negotiation.
Please clap.
But of course, you guys, the comparison is unfair. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's not like Trump has ever asked a crowd to give him a standing ovation.
Get up.
Oh, my God. It's happening. He's turning into Jeb. Soon he's going to start wearing glasses and getting trapped in his own hoodie. Even Trump's speeches are low energy now. When he runs for re-election in 2020, the primary debates are just going to be a split screen of him making faces at himself.
That is our plan. Border security, DACA, TPS, and many other things.
Now, we're living in a very surreal time where people like Ann Coulter have tremendous sway over the president. In December, Trump was going to give up on the wall until Coulter called him a gutless and a vulgar publicity hound. He then went to try to win her back. Trump shut down the government. And once again, after Coulter insulted him and called the deal amnesty, Trump scrambled to make her happy by tweeting, "No amnesty is not a part of my offer." Man, why is he so subservient to her? Does she have a different pee tape? Here's the thing. Trump's proposal is not amnesty. It's not even a reasonable deal. And there's no reason to believe he'll follow through on it. Remember, we've been down this road many times with him. And every time, he's reneged on his promises. As early as February 2017. He said he wanted to protect Dreamers, the young undocumented immigrants brought here as children, and that he would be open to a bill that would give them permanent legal status.
On the DACA program for immigration, right. What is your plan? Do you plan to continue that program or to end it?
We're going to show great heart. DACA is a very, very difficult subject for me, I will tell you. To me, it's one of the most difficult subjects I have because you have these incredible kids. We are going to deal with DACA with heart. The DACA situation is a very, very, it's a very difficult thing for me because, you know, I love these kids. I love kids. I have kids.
I have kids. I have kids. I've only ever tried to deport two of them. Sorry, boys, back to Transylvania.
That was in February 2017. In September, Trump canceled the program. Then in January, he told lawmakers he was open to a compromise. And then, 2 days after that, he completely changed his mind again. And even Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who brokered the compromise and has become one of Trump's closest allies in Congress, was stunned by Trump's sudden change of heart.
Tuesday, we had a president that I was proud to golf with, call my friend, who understood immigration had to be bipartisan. You had to have border security. It's essential you have border security with a wall, but he also understood the idea that we had to do it with compassion. Now, I don't know where that guy went. I want him back.
Oh, why did he suddenly change his mind out of nowhere? Because he's President Werewolf. Except he's a werewolf 29 days a month, and then there's a full moon, he turns into a human, and you can talk to him, and then all you dummies celebrate because you think it's permanent. Then the full moon goes away and he goes back to chasing you through the woods. You can't negotiate with someone who doesn't know anything, who changes his mind constantly, and who lives in fear of Ann Coulter's Twitter account. There's really only one person who can end this shutdown right now, and that's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. The Senate has already passed a bill to keep the government open with no strings attached. All McConnell has to do is pass that same bill again and override the president's veto, and the government would open up immediately, which is why a group of freshman Democrats, led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, showed up at his office last week demanding to know what he was doing.
We have voted repeatedly over and over again to reopen the government. We went to his office in the Capitol. We went to his office here in the Russell Building. We went to the floor. We went to the cloakroom. He's not in the cloakroom. He's not in the Capitol. He's not in the Russell Building. He's not in the floor of the Senate. And 800,000 people don't have their paychecks. So where's Mitch?
I mean, yeah. Although I will say, if you're ever wondering where's Mitch, just go down to the marsh and check the lily pads. We've been down this road with Trump before, and there's no reason to trust him any more than we have in the past. The Senate could pass a bill right now to reopen the government. In the meantime, millions of people are needlessly suffering, and all the president has to say to them is, this has been a closer look. Always have enough time to cover all of the recent news. So here with a recap is one of our writers, Amber Ruffin, in a segment we call Amber Says What?
You guys, things have been crazy. Okay, first of all, I heard Jimmy Buffett sang the national anthem and dropped the mic. And I was like, what? Jimmy Buffett sang the national anthem where? At a game of beer pong? Jimmy Buffett dropped the mic. Why? Did he sing the national anthem well? Because I heard Margaritaville, and I'm a-guessing that's a no. Also, you're too old to drop a mic. Barack Obama barely got away with it. When Barack Obama drops a mic, it's cool. But when you start dropping things, your children come around to check on you. Watching Fox News where they accidentally announced that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died even though she's still alive. And I was like, what? Just kidding. I wasn't watching Fox News. But no. I was watching True Detective. It was fun. But I heard about it and I was like, what? You showed this on national television? Why? Were you hoping that she'd see it and go, oh, I'm dead. Okay. Then Beto O'Rourke was like, I might run for president. And everyone was like, what? Then Elizabeth Warren was like, I'm going to run for president. And everyone was like, what? Then Kamala Harris was like, and I was like, she was like, and then I was like, and then she was like, I'm running for president. Oh, man. Everybody was like, what? Then I saw that Beyonce shopped at a Target, and I was like, what could they possibly have that you need? Is it mirrors? It was probably mirrors. Then some scuba divers off the coast of Hawaii were minding their own business when a giant great white shark showed up, and I was like, what? Then this fool touched it. Now, I'm not a shark expert, snorkeling expert, or swimmer. I don't like water animals or animals that live in the water. But I do know that sharks eat people, idiot, and you look delicious. So you may not want to be swimming up to sharks like they're your best friend. I did all that without mentioning the song Baby Shark, lest it get stuck in your head. Oops, I mentioned it. Guess it's stuck in your head now. Then, Gillette aired a commercial acknowledging toxic masculinity, saying, we have to stop saying boys will be boys. And I was like, yes, we do. What, what? Then some people didn't like being told they shouldn't bully and rape. And I was like, what? Sounds like you've mistaken toxic masculinity for your identity. And the second I said that, I became an old black lady. Then a bunch of children from Covington Catholic High School went on a trip to D.C. to march against reproductive rights. And they thought, while we're doing some sexy why don't we also do some racist So, woo like a mug, though. When some indigenous people who were having a separate march approached them, the kids mocked them. And I was all like, what? Didn't you see the Gillette commercial? This is what Boys Will Be Boys does to people. Now, these parents need to sit down and explain to their children that this is wrong. Or, and this is an official pitch, NBC makes a scared straight reboot but for racist children. Now, you send your little racist children to me. What am I gonna do to them? None of your business. But when you get them back, they will not be racist. Then... Then Karen Pence took a job teaching art at a Christian school that doesn't allow LGBT students or teachers. And I heard that, it was like, what? Did you expect she's married to this guy? Then I had an idea, and this is an official pitch. NBC makes a show called Scared of People Who Aren't Straight, where kids send their homophobic parents to me. Now, what am I gonna do to them? None of your business. But when you get them back, they will not be homophobic. Then the best thing in the world happened. Kaylin Ohashi did a gymnastics routine that had everybody like, what? Woo! It was beautiful. Her floor exercise had all the hits. Proud Mary, September, Rhythm Nation. And then she did something I will never forget. I saw another human being do this. Oh, like what? Yes. Am I doing it? Yes, probably close. I saw that, picked up Jimmy Buffett's microphone and dropped it again. This bit ever says what?
As a talented actress you know from Step Brothers and Veep, she is the creator and star of the true TV series I'm Sorry. The second season airs Wednesday nights. Please welcome to the show, Andrea Savage, everyone. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
This is the second season. This is a show you created. It is semi-autobiographical
about
being married, raising a daughter. And I'm assuming it's more multidimensional than other mother roles you've been asked to play earlier in your career.
Yes. I feel like at a certain point, some roles were coming at me. And it was, you know, it was like you'd read it and you'd be like, oh, it's a two-hander. And then it was like, okay, so the mom comes in and she's like, where's the lunches? And then the lunches were just there. And then that was it. And then you leave. Until you, you know, see your husband later and you're like, I'm not having sex with you. And then that was kind of how it went. And I was like, come on, I am a mom. We are funny, we're dirty, we're edgy. Like, let's have a multi, you know, nuanced role here.
You mentioned the show is dirty. Obviously, the clip didn't shy away from that. But there are a lot of intimate details in the show. Do people who watch it therefore feel as though they can maybe broach conversation topics they wouldn't have otherwise?
I feel like I have become a receptacle for people's personal and private information. The show is not only about buttholes, but last season there was an episode about people who put ice up their butt.
Gotcha.
And since then, people like to tell me things they put up their butt.
Gotcha.
Which, by the way, if you're looking for someone, I'm your lady.
Yeah.
I find it delightful. Something that surprised me over the holiday season, candy canes.
Really?
Came up a few times.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's funny. I would just think it would burn.
Well.
The peppermint.
The mint?
Yeah.
Like, well,
I mean, that's not the only reason I'm not doing it.
I feel like I was thinking the hook.
Oh, right.
I was more.
Well, I wouldn't open with the hook. The hook would be like the way that people would. I mean, I would like.
That would be at the end.
That would be for like. The way I picture it is.
Yeah, yeah, no, of course. By the
I'm running around and someone's like, yeah, I'm gonna grab you by the hook.
It's like.
Get over here. And I'm like, oh, no.
It's like the Gong Show. Like, you're doing bad jokes. They're like,
yeah,
you're out of here. So people do like to tell me stuff. Things like that. A relative of mine. Many relatives like to tell me stories. Those are people I'm not interested. So if you're watching, please stop telling your horrible, horrible stories.
Obviously, you have someone who plays your mom on the show.
Yes.
Does your actual mom enjoy the show?
My mom loves the show.
Oh, that's great.
She loves the show. That we opened with a scene this season where her nipple gets exposed.
Gotcha.
She's getting out of the pool very innocently, and then my husband sees her, and she puts it out. You know, casually puts it back over, which was a real story, except it was not my husband. It was a dad at my daughter's school.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So periodically at drop-off, I do like to say to him, Mike, remember when you saw my mom's nipple?
Yeah. I bet. You know what? I bet he does. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he does.
Has your mom ever come to set?
Yes, she comes to set a lot. She lives in L.A. We shoot the show in L.A. She likes to laugh at full volume. In the middle of a take.
Gotcha.
It's not a live show.
Right, so it's not
so
great.
So that's not what you do. Often I have to be like, Mom, cut. Mom, you actually cannot be laughing here.
Yeah.
And we reveal some great stuff about her. And she did say to me before the holidays, well, I don't want people to think that that's the kind of stuff I do. And I'm like, but it is the kind of stuff you do. She's like, I know, but I just don't want people to know.
Your character spends a lot of time with other parents of children of the same age. I'm going through this now. I enjoy being part of a community of people that are going through the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Do you like hanging out with parents of your kids' friends?
I do. I feel like at around 2 to 5, you really, I don't know. It can go either way because I like to say the only, you know, the only thing you have in common with these people really is that you all around the same time.
Yeah.
With no protection.
Yeah.
And that's not really...
In the same zip code.
In the same zip code. That's not necessarily something to base a long friendship off of.
Yeah.
But it's like dating a little bit. It's the closest thing you get to dating after you're married.
Right.
Because you don't know these people very well. Once in a while, you're like, I love these people. And I want them in my life. And they're our vacation. Maybe we're going to go on a weekend with these people. You know, and you get really excited. Or you're like... This was 3 hours of chit-chat about carpool. You know what I mean? Like, it can really go either way, but, yeah, there's not a lot to base it off of.
It is exciting when you are with your spouse, and it's like dating, except with dating, you are alone being like, oh, my God, I hope she likes me.
Yeah.
When you share that as a couple, being like, oh, my God, I think they like us.
Oh, yeah.
It's really fun.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think they're going to call? Or you're like, well, I like the wife, but... I don't know about the dad,
yeah.
And then, or nah, I kind of like the dad, and then you're like, well, I like the wife, and you like the dad. We can make this work. It really is But really, what else do you have in common? Other than your children are basically born within a couple weeks of each other.
No, that's true. You've noticed and called out that we talk about young boys and young girls in a very different way.
Yes. Something I've noticed, you know, when you see a little baby boy, often if they giggle and smile, often people go, oh, my God, he's flirting with you. Oh, my God, he's going to be a little heartbreaker. Watch out. So I would sometimes like to turn to the little girl babies and be like, well, she's going to be a little tease. You watch out. Woo! It doesn't go great.
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on
you
the
crowd. You stop getting invites on the couple dates after
that. We don't travel with people often. But yeah, I mean, why is it that the boy, you know what I mean? You would not walk up to a little girl baby and be like, she is flirty.
Yeah. There's something. Is it crazy? Am I crazy or is something happening?
Right? By the way, please try that at your next preschool.
Yeah.
Please.
Obviously, you are in comedy. Your parents, no, they are. Were they both in dentistry?
My whole family is into teeth.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I come from the people of teeth.
Okay.
And
you have beautiful teeth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have so many teeth. I technically don't think I have extra teeth, but it appears that I do. I have a very large mouth. So luckily, I am supported in my family.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And because I've been around teeth, my dad's an orthodontist, my mom's a dental hygienist, I have a brother who's a dentist, periodontist. I mean, we are in it to win it.
Yeah.
I do like to dispense advice, though, as if I were a dentist.
Oh, to other people.
To other people.
Yeah. Because to a regular person like me who has no one in the dental arts,
you're the dentist.
Yeah.
I basically got a PhD.
What sort of advice do you dispense?
For one thing, dentists are not going to be happy with me. When your kid has baby teeth, you do not need to be taking them to the dentist all the time.
Really?
Okay. That is absolute fallacy.
How many times, I got a 2-year-old, how many times a day should I be brushing his teeth?
16.
Yeah, okay.
16 times.
16 times?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about like 1.5 and most of the times I forget the one?
Well, first of all, those teeth are leaving anyway.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's the thing, is you really don't need to be x-raying these teeth and all this stuff that's going to go away. You can get one x-ray, make sure there's not something really crazy going on, and move on with your
life. But mostly you just want your kids to be like, don't get attached to these guys.
Right?
Yeah. Don't fall in love, guys. You got real teeth coming.
Yeah, don't fall in love and then wait for the tooth fairy. Wait till you forget that the tooth fairy is supposed to come, and then you put silver dollars in their car seat in the car and make up that they couldn't get in the house.
Broke into the car?
Yeah. And my daughter bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, my God. That's the best thing about them. They're pretty gullible.
They are very gullible.
Hey, congrats on the show. Thank you so much for being here. Andrea Savage, everybody.
Hey, this is Andrew from Late Night, and here's Andrea Savage of I'm Sorry.
That is a true statement.
Thank you.
That is
I got it right. We're off to a great start.
Things are going
We're
great.
We're killing it. You were talking to Seth about how your family is in the world, as he said, of dental arts.
Yeah, of dental arts.
Dental arts. Mm-hmm. How did you not get into dental arts and go to comedy?
Well, it wasn't like my family was like, push. It wasn't like, well, you either become a carny or you have to work with teeth. I actually was going to be a lawyer. I went to Cornell. I was pre-law. Yeah. And so comedy came in later. And I did theater and stuff through high school and college, but I was from LA and was like, it seems so irresponsible to be an actor. Like, I was never going to go that direction. And then kind of got into comedy and then was like, I guess I'm not going back to law school.
What was that moment like, deciding that, after you put so much money and time into law school, it seems like a pretty big move to be like, no, I'm just going to go towards comedy.
Yeah, it's probably a better question for my parents.
Sure.
For me, it sort of was slow and, I felt badly. At the same time, I didn't go to law school. It wasn't like I did undergrad. I was pre-law. So I was going to go to college anyway. It wasn't and I'm glad that I studied what I studied.
Yeah. Does that inform your work?
I mean, I think in terms of the performer part of me, but then I'm also the producer part of me.
Yeah.
That's, very... straightforward and very logical, and you have to be very organized. So it's sort of, I have two different sides of my brain. I feel like that helped with all the more producer producing parts and all the other stuff that I do now.
Yeah.
And understanding contracts and understanding lots of other things. Yeah.
So what was it like kind of putting that hat on after being an actress for so long and being a comedian to being like producer, top of the list, executive producer, all that?
A lot of fear.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Healthy, healthy dose of fear there. It was a learning curve, but you know what? I had been sort of slowly doing things. I'd done Funny or Die, done some videos and produced and directed some stuff there. I did their HBO shows a couple times. And I had written and sold 7 other projects that didn't go before this. So this was, I believe, my 8th project. Wow. It could have been my 9th. So I had developed with many networks, network, really. And so I had done it somewhat more. It wasn't like I'd just been thrust into it out of nowhere.
After getting 7 no's, how do you keep going? That is amazing.
I don't know. Well, because they're, you know, it's weird. They're no's, but they're weirdly yeses because...
A friend of mine described LA as the town of maybe.
It's the town of maybe.
Everything could go.
It could go because it's sort. I say that I was a very successful failure in that I sold a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? And developed a lot of stuff and had good relationships. So at least, you know, I was making a good living and it just none of them went. A lot of them could have gone, but they just didn't for whatever reason. So, but it sucks. And that's why for this show, I shot a pilot presentation instead of instead of developing the script.
Oh,
and I shot 14 minutes.
Smart. And that's what did it. Shot. Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
In this new season, there is this scene where you go to the gynecologist. And the show is based on some true stories, some not true stories.
Correct.
Explain what's happened. Not to spoil the episode's aired,
By
right?
By the way, the episode's aired.
It's aired. So if you haven't seen it, that's on you.
Adam Scott plays my gynecologist. This is a real thing that happened where I had to go to my gynecologist for a procedure. And my husband came with me. And my regular doctor was not there that day. And we had the other doctor there. And my husband walked into the room. And the doctor looked up. And suddenly it was Jeremy. Jay. And they knew each other. And the doctor was my husband's camp counselor. And they start chatting and reminiscing about the camp, renovations, reunion, his sister that was his first kiss. As the doctor, as I like to say, elbow deep in my situation, neither one of them remotely giving a care to the fact of what is happening. I'm trying to make eye contact with my husband. He's just chit-chatting away. Yeah. Best day of his life.
Wow.
He did let the doctor know this week, because it aired last week. Yeah. He did email the doctor, because of course they've stayed in touch. Yeah. Because why wouldn't you after that happening? He emailed him and said, you know, Andrew has this show. I don't know if you know, you might want to watch this week. I think you'll get a kick out of it. And he wrote back and he found it delightful. What I did not show on the television show was my follow-up appointment that I had to go to with the doctor when my husband wasn't there. It was the fastest appointment I ever had. Both of us were extremely uncomfortable. And he was like, dip, 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 yep, everything looks great. Bye-bye. Like, it was real fast. Real, real fast.
People clearly tell you a lot about their own lives with the show. But do they ask you constantly what's real, what's not real?
Yes,
because the semi-autobiographical would lead people to ask that.
And I will tell you, the second season is a very healthy mix of my stories and my writer's stories. Elizabeth Lame, Christopher Johnson, and Jeff Drake, and my co-showrunner, Joey Slaman. So this season is really a mix of my stories in there. Stories.
Yeah. Well, the show's great.
Thank you.
It's really funny.
Thank you. I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, congratulations. It must be so exciting to be running a show and starring in it and creating something about your own life, but not being constricted to that and getting to bring in other voices. It's really a cool project.
It's really rare that you actually get to like have a vision of what you want your show to be and have it be able to be under your eyes from beginning to end and actually have the show be what you imagined it was going to be. And that True TV has been amazing with supporting that. It's been
fantastic.
Yeah, it's not easy. And especially happening in my 40s.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's awesome.
Another thing that's happening, let me just say quickly, Veep, you are so funny in
Thank
Veep.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for the new season. I know you can't say a word about it. I just want to say
but
that show was so great and you were so funny in it.
Gracias.
Well done, gracias. Madam President.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
becomes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
It's win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying, lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.